The epistle to be read today for the Feast of Transfiguration is taken from St. Peter's second epistle, chapter 1. Dearly beloved, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but having been made eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory, this voice coming down to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And this voice we heard brought from heaven when we were with him in the holy mount. And we have the more firm prophetical word, wherefore unto you do well to attend as to light that shineth in dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And the holy gospel. It's taken from the gospel of St. Matthew chapter 17. At that time, Jesus took Peter and James and John, his brother, bringing them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias, talking with him. And Peter, answering, said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." And as he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And lo, a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And the disciples hearing fell upon their faces and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them. And they said to them, "Arise and fear not." And they lifting up their eyes saw no one, but only Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man, till the Son of Man be risen from the dead." Thus for the words of today's holy gospel. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you will, let us set up three tents here." The words are taken from the gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now today, my dear faithful, we celebrate the Feast of the Transfiguration. We celebrate the day on which our Lord magnificently showed himself to the apostles at Mount Tabor. The apostles therefore got a glimpse of the divinity shining through Christ's humanity. As we read the account in today's gospel, these events took place shortly before the passion and death of our Lord. Our Lord knew that his passion and death were soon approaching. And so he took the apostles, Peter, James, and John, and brought them to a high mountain, apart from everyone else. He wanted to strengthen them with what they would witness. The mountain they went up was Mount Tabor in Galilee. And there our Lord was transfigured before them. That is to say, his face shone as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And then Moses and Elias appeared with our Lord and were talking with him. St. Peter was dumbfounded and surprised by what he saw. And then he asked if they should make three tabernacles or tents so that they could stay there. But as Peter was speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed him and the other apostles. And then they heard the voice from the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." The sound of this great voice, the apostles were very much afraid, and they fell upon their faces. Now the purpose of the transfiguration was to strengthen the faith of the apostles. And so our Lord was gloriously transfigured before their eyes. So spectacular was this glimpse of our Lord's divinity shining through his humanity that St. Peter wanted to build tents or temporary dwellings, so that they could stay there and never leave. Now, there are many lessons we can draw from this gospel that we read, but I want to point out how often we make the same mistake as St. Peter. We forget about heaven, our true goal, the end to which we are all striving to, and only think about this earth. St. Peter wanted to build tents or tabernacles and not to leave Mount Tabor. But no matter how spectacular was the transfiguration, and it was spectacular, we are made for much, much more. We are made for something far greater, that is heaven. But often we forget and we get caught up in the things of this world. We don't think about our last end, that we are made for heaven. As St. John Vianney says, our home is heaven. We are only traveling or passing through this world. So the most important thing for us is to save our souls, is to get to heaven. And we do that by knowing, loving, and serving God, living our faith here on earth. Thus, it is so important for us to know our religion. We must have an adequate knowledge of the chief truths of our religion. We should be able to defend our beliefs and to be a good example to others by living a good Catholic lives. It is sad to see that there are so many non-believers, Protestants and others, who know and defend their beliefs, and then see so many Catholics who barely know the faith. They know the bare minimum. Now, there's an interesting story that took place in a large southern city some years ago. The majority of the city lived in the city but were Catholic, but they did not practice their religion very zealously. And a new pastor was started there, given the parish there, and many children didn't make their communion until very late. And so he made sure to give them all their first Holy Communion. These children had to prepare for their first solemn communion by learning their catechism. And then he told them they would have to do even more studying to be confirmed soon. Now, three of the mothers called to the rectory to see the pastor. They wanted to discuss the regulations he had just made. You see, the priest told them that the boys and girls who just made their first communion and were old enough then to be confirmed because they waited so long, but they would have to make more religious instructions to prepare themselves for confirmation. And so this trio of parents wanted to speak to the pastor. They disliked this new arrangement. They thought that the test for the first communion was enough. And so the good priest tried to tell them that he was looking out for their children's welfare, that even though this made it more work for himself, he wanted to do anything and everything that was good for the children. But one of the ladies objected. She said, "But Father, here we thought our children were through with their catechism since they passed their first communion test." "Through with their catechism?" the priest exclaimed. "One is never through with his catechism in any sense. We must always keep on learning and put the catechism into practice. We should always grow in our knowledge of our faith. We can never stop learning it." "And this holds true whether a Catholic is 8 years old or 80 years old," the priest said. "We can never stop learning about our faith. And so we can live according to it. We must always learn it and know it." How sad it is that this response is the same of many Catholics. But we must remember why we are here. We are here for one thing: to honor God and save our souls. And we do this by living our faith. And so we must know our faith in order to live it, but live by it. You know, this is one of the catechism questions. Why did God make you? "He made me to know him, to love him, to serve him in this world, to be happy with him in the next." We have all learned that from our first grade catechism when we learned it for our first communion. And it is the simplest but most sublime question in all the catechism. It answers why we are here, to get to heaven. And how do we do that? By knowing, loving, and serving God. Let us then, my dear faithful, ever strive to have a greater knowledge of our faith. We can do this by reading the Bible, the lives of the saints, and other holy books, by studying the catechism and other ascetically and spiritual books. We can always learn more and more. I've been teaching at the seminary since I've been a priest, over 15 years now. And some of the books we teach are the same book, year after year. But every year I learn more and more from it. Even just the simple catechism that I teach the convert classes to, I do many, many each year, different people coming over to the faith. And every year, or every time I look at the catechism and teach somebody new, I learn from it as well. And especially today in our controversial world, we can always learn more and more to help us each day, to help us live better, to practice the virtue, like to learn from the saints, to read their lives, and they will inspire us and help us, give us courage in this valley of tears. They will inspire us to pray more, and to pray with better attention and devotion, to read their lives and to learn from them. And parents must remember to encourage and to have your children learn their catechism, to learn their faith. You are responsible for them. And God's will for you is to raise your children in the faith. This is the primary duty of every parent, the education of their children, not only in secular matters, but also and most especially in religious matters. Your children must know enough to support themselves and their own future families. And they most especially must know the truths of our religion. You're responsible to be sure that they know all these truths. You must teach them how to pray and to instill in them a love of prayer and a love of practicing virtue and to show them what it means to be a good Catholic. And all of us must strive to do more so that we will grow in the knowledge and the love of our faith by reading and studying more of our faith. We must not be like St. Peter in the Gospel and only think of this earth. Rather, our thoughts should be raised to heaven and using all the means necessary to attain heaven. And to show how serious a matter it is, if we look to the Old Testament in the Bible, we see many terrifying examples where God punishes the Jewish people because they did not know him. One of the Old Testament prophets wrote, God said, because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you. And you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children. So let us not neglect the knowledge of our faith. Rather, let us make our faith the number one thing in our lives. And as the priest pointed out to the mothers in the story, no matter if you're 8 years old or 80 years old, we can always study and learn more of our faith. For nothing else really matters, as St. Paul says, I count all things as to be nothing compared to the excellent knowledge of Jesus Christ. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.